Hey everyone, it's Joe Thrash and Kill. We've got a hell of a show for you today. You're not going to want to miss a bit of it, which is why I've got pre-sale tickets available. You know, if you get them from me, it's just $25. If you wait until the actual show starts, you're going to have to pay the full $30. You don't want to fuck around with that. You don't want to risk this show selling out. You're not going to miss. I mean, like, we've got some great people coming on. We got Brenicide. You know, you guys love Brenicide. He's awesome. We've got 365 Days of Horror. You know, that's who everyone is here to see, of course. You know, you want to see me as well, because I'm your buddy, and I'm here to give you this great deal on tickets for this show. And, you know, honestly, if you don't make it out to this one, I don't value a friendship anymore. You know, I thought we were tight, but you know, if you're not willing to shell out 25 and make it out at 6 p.m. on a Tuesday night to see me, go fuck yourself. That's how I feel about it.
And I think it's important to add that should be a good crowd. It's a guaranteed good crowd, because you got your man Brenicide here. I'm coming. You know, you guys like me. I'm a good friend. You got 365's definitely going to be there. And then when we're not talking, Joe's going to be there. So you got three people there at least. Yeah, that might as well be a party. That's at least a large pizza, right?
We're going to have a petting zoo. It's just my dogs. We couldn't really afford ponies or anything like that, but we got a petting zoo. We've got face painting. We've got balloon animals. Basically, my cousin's a juggalo and he's just going to come out and help out with this show a little bit. But it's going to be a really good time. So, you know, $25, you're going to need to buy a minimum of three though.
We're going to have a job fair booth for the local steel mill. We're going to have pre-registration booth for the local community college classes. You're also going to have the local Oriental rug store sponsoring the show. It's going to be sick.
We've got
Oriental rugs up the wazoo, man.
We got the local Libertarian Party coming out and helping you register to vote. They've got a Ron Paul lookalike that's gonna yell.
It's actually Ron Paul.
It's actually Ron Paul. That was the big reveal.
Sorry, I blew it. But still, worth the price of admission for sure.
Well, I guess we can go ahead and get this going. I couldn't sell all of my tickets, so I'm just gonna eat it and, you know, pay my promoter $30 per on these 50 tickets he made me sell. But it'll be worth it, because the exposure is going to be good.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
I'm Joe Thrashenkill. You're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. It's been a long time since we had a straight show. We either had a guest on or we were intentionally doing the dumbest fucking show possible. This one's going to be a little bit more straightforward. What do you guys think about that?
Boo.
Fair enough. Jordan, you there?
Oh, I'm here. It's been such an entertaining week, let me tell you.
Please tell.
So I don't know how anyone could have possibly missed this, because the article I wrote is fastly approaching 35,000 views on the website. Whoop, something whoop. Like over 100 shares through Facebook, a whole bunch of shares on Twitter. A lot of people have seen this. There was a festival in my city, festival in quotes. You know, it's radio. You can't see me doing it. That had 31 bands playing on it across three stages. The headliner was Unearthed, with direct support from Through the Eyes of the Dead. Beyond that, it was all local and, you know, regional bands. And, you know, I've been playing in bands since high school, fairly long time. And when I was young, I didn't know any better. And when I was in these bands, it would just be like, okay, you have to sell whatever, 10 tickets to play on the show. Because I had no one around to tell me that you didn't have to do that. Just play a different venue, play a basement, play anywhere else. Unfortunately, this pay-to-play practice still exists to this day, as exemplified by this horrible, horrible festival.
So just to give readers some background on this. This is not a new phenomenon by any means. Because back in the day, back when hair metal was a real thing and like the Sunset Strip was the place to be where you'd catch all the cool bands, pay to play was like out of fucking control back then. I found this article from the LA Times. Let's see, the date on this is August 20th, 1989. And that over the Labor Day weekend, you know, back almost 30 years ago, they had more than 200 bands come out in March up and down the Sunset Strip protesting against these pay-to-play policies. Because back then, like the Whiskey and the Roxy, they would require bands to purchase roughly $1,200 worth of tickets in order to be booked. They would purchase those tickets and then they would sell them to make their money back, and then they'd hope that they would get a good crowd, you know, see them opening up for, I don't know, fucking Faster Pussycat or Cinderella or some horrible forgotten 80s metal band.
Odin,
yeah. So this, and it was, I mean, can you imagine that? Like, being in a band in 1989 and needing to sell $1,200 worth of tickets. I mean, it still happens to this day. But back then, that was a lot of fucking money, man. So, can any of you think of a band that made it big being one of these, like, dudes selling tickets, hustling to their friends and family, like, Grandma, please buy a ticket to see us open up for Summer Slaughter?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's never fucking happened. Yeah. Not once.
No.
So, please, go ahead, continue. Just to give a little background on that.
Yeah, so the whole point of the article was trying to lay out why this is bullshit, why this is wrong, why this is exploitative of these local bands, most of them fairly young, high school, college, just out of college age, who don't know any better, that they feel that they need to sell 20 tickets at $25 in advance, 30-day of show, that in order to open up for Unearth, or Through the Eyes of the Dead, like it's going to be some sort of status improvement, or Unearth is going to be there at when they play at 12:30 in the afternoon and be like, these guys have it. I'm going to sign them. I'm going to make sure Century Media, whoever the fuck, is going to make sure that these guys, you know, are going to be the next big thing. And, you know, we all know that's not true. We all know that the money going to all these ticket sales isn't going to these bands. It's going to the promoter. Promoter again in quotes, because there wasn't a whole lot of promotion for this beyond Facebook stuff. I went to the local metal shop on the day of the show and didn't see any flyers of it. And the metal shop is less than a mile away from the venue. But I just wanted to point this out. It's still happening. And the amount of positive response that we've gotten from people really shows that, yes, this is wrong. And it's a problem, not just where we live, but throughout the country.
Yeah, I mean, let's focus on Unearth for like 1 minute.
Please no.
Yeah, how much do you think this promoter paid Unearth to do this show?
Couple thousand.
Yeah, I mean, like
$5,000 at the most.
That has to be like the most. So they're coming away like a bandit on this one, like selling that many tickets, having 31 bands sell. I don't know. What do we want to call it? 20 tickets?
Sure.
So
15 to 20.
Yeah, let's call it 31 bands selling 20 tickets at $20 a piece. You're making $12,400. I did all that math in my head just now. I didn't have my calculator out. I'm good at math. I'm like John Nash over here.
Yeah.
Barring that, how much would you pay to see Unearth? I mean, for me, it's maybe like -$2.
Yeah, accidentally for some other band.
Yeah,
I laid it out in the article. You know, I have no problem with Unearth. Whatever, they still do their thing. Their whatever new wave of American heavy metal, metalcore stuff. They've played in the area in the past 2 years at least 3 times. So it's not like they haven't been here in so long and people are hungry to see them. They just have to wait a couple months and they'll probably be back opening up for Killswitch Engage during their next Christmas show.
Yeah. As someone who lives in Massachusetts from where they're from, it's I didn't get time to miss them.
Yeah, how can I miss you if you've never gone away?
Right.
And I'm not going to drop $30 for, let's be honest, two real bands, and then the rest are locals.
Not to mention the gauntlet of misery, you know, the endurance test you have to go through to get to them if you're willing to show up a little early.
I mean, like, if I cared about Unearth, which I don't, but if I did,
right.
I would...
Just pretending, right.
I would stay home and play video games until 15 minutes before they went on.
Yeah, but it's not by accident that they're the biggest logo on the poster. Yeah, I mean, this is to try to get Unearth fans to show up. So you have bands who just immediately assume, well, Unearth is very popular. I'm going to have a lot of people here seeing my band. Getting themselves booked for what, like 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30 times, when honestly no one's probably going to show up until maybe an hour, hour and a half before Unearth takes stage.
Yeah, I've mentioned in the article, I think it was like a Soulfly Suffocation tour came through town, and they did this. They stuck on an extra 20 bands, and if you're like me, you just want to see Suffocation, you're not going to drop $30 to see one band and have to suffer, either show up and suffer through all these bands, or try to show up roughly when they're going to play and realize that, of course, everything's running far beyond the time it was scheduled for, and the band doesn't play for another 2 hours.
Yeah, all of this, it's just a recipe for pain. It's just pain.
It's just not good.
There's one winner in all of this. It's the headlining band. They get paid to come out, do their show, and get the fuck out of town. The promoter makes some dough on this, but like, also, if you've done this, if you had to go through this misery, hopefully you wouldn't do this again. I mean, like, I was looking through some of these New England bills, these quote-unquote festivals with 25-plus bands, and I noticed a couple of names near the top that apparently love doing this shit. Dan, our buddy Dan from Rhode Island, mentioned to me that the Kingsmen, this band that's always getting top billing on these terrible festivals, doesn't actually have any recorded material whatsoever.
I believe that's correct. I think they have a few, like, 20-second YouTube clips, and that's it. And yet somehow, they're always on these bills, and you gotta question it.
That's shady as fuck. The Kingsmen, if you're listening to this, you're shady as fuck. So,
you said for people that benefit from this, it's, like you said, the bands that actually have a guarantee pay, Unearth, probably Through the Eyes of the Dead. The promoter, I assume, gets a couple of bucks out of this and gets to jock sniff the real bands that he books and hangs out with them backstage, much to their chagrin. The venue also benefits from this because they sell soda and beer. And if some of these venues sell food, they make money that way. Some of these venues charge for parking, they make money that way. They don't give a shit about any of this as long as they get their money's worth.
Yeah, the venue employees, I heard a lot of stories just kind of seeing your post kind of spread across the web in places that I didn't expect to see it, where people would just lament about having to work these like ridiculous 10, 15, sometimes, God, what, like 18-hour shifts for these big, ridiculous festivals. Because sometimes they have these things like in a venue. Like they'll call it a festival even though they're not on like some grassy campground or something, you know what I mean? Or some kind of big convention area. They'll call it a festival and they'll put you right in this shitty dive bar where this poor bartender has to work 11 hours throughout the entire festival, quote unquote.
Ideally, you're going to make rent doing that.
Yeah.
This was in a legitimate venue called FET in Providence. It has like a ballroom, a little lounge stage, and then they had stuff outside too, along with their little bouncy castle.
Oh yeah, and I'm just saying, for example, I've certainly seen it happen. Like, I'll throw it out there, the New England Metal and Hardcore Festival, they have it every single year. It's been there for years, but it's always at the Worcester Palladium. And the Worcester Palladium is like not a festival venue. It's just like a ballroom. You know, it's just like there's the upstairs with the bar and the small stage, and then there's a downstairs that has a bit more of a theater area with a standing room and a stage, and that's it. It's just a hot cement venue, and it standing in there, especially during the summer, for like 3 days, it's no freaking picnic.
But I mean, like, okay, you got a couple of winners here, and then everybody else is a loser. If you're in a band and you're selling tickets to play this, you're a loser. I mean, that's not a declaration of who you are as a person. It's just your role in this. You are a loser.
You're very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably a nice person, and I wish the best for you, and I want you to stop doing this immediately because, number one, you're annoying your friends and family. Like, they love you. They want what's best for you. They might not be able to see your band all the time, and that's okay. They shouldn't be hounded to buy tickets for your shows. You're doing the dirty work of somebody who is unwilling to offer a guarantee because he doesn't think that his own lineup will be able to make a profit. If he has 31 bands with 4 members each selling tickets, sure, he's got somebody doing the dirty work for him. There is no fan that's a winner here either. Like, nobody's going to see this lineup and be like, well, I only like Unearth, and I've never heard of 30 of the bands on this bill, but I'm still going to go at noon and watch every single one of these bands. And you know what? I'm going to buy merch from every single one of them, because that fucking person doesn't exist. I've gotten a lot of feedback from people that are playing this festival or have played similar festivals who are extremely upset. And one guy, he sent me a 7,000-word email about your post, Jordan. Number one, never email me 7,000 words ever. Number two,
don't even email him 1,000 words. There's no excuse for that. There's just no fucking excuse.
The entire thing was just trying to validate his reasons for doing this from every perspective possible, and it's just this meandering nonsense. It's a false justification for something that is ultimately indefensible. Guys, if you want to play a show, like if you're a young band and you want to play a show, you don't have to fucking sell tickets for anything. You can find some buddies who can play a basement, you can play a punk house, you can play a VFW hall if you got like $12. You just need to make friends with people who are doing the same shit as you and go for it, because there is this weird tendency in metal for dudes to think that they need light rigs and professional sound guys. Y'all need a DIY approach like a motherfucker. You need to get punk as shit and do it yourself. Otherwise, you're just going to get sold up the river by these assholes.
Yeah. You know, rock some Christian Youth Center hall. You know what I mean?
Seriously, though.
You don't need some of the, and some of the fucking light shows are sad. You know, it's like I'm trying to watch a black metal band and they got this like this neon laser show going on over them. I'm just not having it. Like, let it go.
And it doesn't help that like pretty much every band on this bill could be adequately described as groove metal.
Yeah.
Metalcore, groove metal, maybe one or two deathcores.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, it's not like this area is a desert for venues. It's not like there's only one place and there's only one promoter and you got to go through them if you want to play shows. This is a major U.S. city sandwiched in between a whole lot of other major U.S. cities. There are places to play. Most of the places in Providence don't make you sell tickets. Most of them don't even have tickets to sell. You just go and play and people pay at the door and they pay reasonable money, $8, $10, $15. This is absurd. Part of the reason for writing this is to show people that there's a better way. They don't have to do this. They can set up shows on their own. I can name you 3 or 4 venues right now where you can just email them and they'll say, what date do you want? And you could do it yourself. You set the prices yourself. You can print up a couple flyers and that's it.
Yeah, if it's anything like Austin, there's a number of venues that will do this. I mean, you might not get the best night of the week. You might have to do a Monday night or something, but you know, you still get to do your own thing. You don't have to sell tickets for some other asshole.
And I think it's interesting that you brought up the fact that just about everybody on this lineup can be described as groove metal. First of all, I think that's funny because it gives me this image that you just looked up every single one of these bands, which must have taken a considerable amount of time. But second of all, I think if you're it's kind of this unsaid tragedy. If you're in this situation where you're allowing your band to be preyed upon desperately by this sort of predatory promoter behavior, maybe it's time to just kind of consider, am I really making music that people want to hear? Am I really able to draw a crowd on my own? Is this really worth it?
It's a tough point, but it's also worth thinking about. I don't want to tell anybody you have to stop doing this artistic thing that you enjoy, but at some point you have to think, is this artistic thing that I enjoy worthwhile playing live? Because it might not be, dude. Like, nobody's going to get mad at you for going to the shed with your buddies and, you know, rocking out on the week, a couple times a week. But if people aren't into what you're doing, like, you can't do anything about that.
And I've butt heads with the members of my band before because they don't want to play live around the area. They just don't. They refuse to because they've been through it. And I was really looking forward to it as someone who's just starting out a band. And I wasn't really aware of all of this stuff that other people in the area have to go through to get shows. And I've only just recently started kind of making friends with other guys who play shows, and I've ended up at their shows. And I just see how just like totally sad of a situation it is, and how nobody shows up, and the venue, how they get treated by the promoter and the people at the venue and the sound guy and everything else. It's just, I immediately couldn't agree with them fast enough that playing the music that we play, the very underground, very harsh sound, where we're probably not going to draw any sort of a crowd in the area, I think it's for the best that we don't. So I just release stuff on Bandcamp and I talk about it with people online, and I think I'm perfectly happy with that.
It's not a bad way of going about things, because we're all in the business of trying to sell water to the ocean. There is no shortage of heavy metal, and it's just, we all need to realize, number one, that there's not much money in it for the people that even are like the creme de la creme best metal bands on earth. And number two, like, most of us are just going to eat shit. We're going to play in front of two people a night, and it's going to be awkward and embarrassing, and you're going to get no respect for it.
You forward me. Sorry, go ahead.
But you do it because you either love it or you're still naive.
And you forwarded me this email you're talking about, and boy, it was a struggle to get through, and I have to admit that I kind of just took it piece by piece in random places, but there's this one point where he tries to make, like, at the end of the day, we're trying to make a career out of this, and this is what we have to do. And I'm just like, the fact that you're going through this is proof that you don't have a career in it. Like, you're not going to pay your bills by doing this. You're not going to pay rent or your electricity or raise a family doing what you're doing, going through it this way. It's not the journey to the dream, and the dream being that you make enough money from your art. It's like the exact opposite. It's somebody taking advantage of your dream. It's somebody who knows that you're willing to go through a lot of bullshit to keep up this guise of a career, when it's like, if you really look at your profits and everything at the end of the day, how could it possibly even be remotely close to a career?
Yeah, you know who might be making a living on this? The promoter.
Maybe.
This is the inequity of capitalism. So think about that a little bit, and don't let yourself be taken advantage of by somebody with the means to production. In this case, it's producing a show. You can do your own fucking show.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's like you guys were saying, if you're at that level, if you're just an underground groove band and you just want to go to some bars and have some fun and play in front of some hot girls and some buddies, you don't have to go through this to get there. I mean, it's like the guys that go through this and struggle and let themselves get taken advantage of, and it's like they don't do any better than the people who refuse to deal with this. You know what I'm saying? It's just, why make that choice? Why let yourself believe that this is the scene, you know?
Well, it's funny because in some of the comment section, people that I don't think were playing, that were just going to the show, were saying, this is what you do. This is how it's supposed to work. Like, they didn't know either.
Yeah, I guess it's difficult because with these promoter types, like, they're willing to hold your hand. You know, they'll reach out to you. They'll work with a young band that nobody else will talk to, because they can profit off you. Nobody's out there saying like, hey, band that just started 2 weeks ago and has a demo on Bandcamp, you can play your own show. Here's how you do it.
And there were some people that contacted us either in the comment section or privately saying, yeah, I played for this guy and we got screwed.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people.
Mm-hmm. And I think it would be worthwhile, before we leave the subject, to bring up some of the responses, some of our favorite responses to it. What do you think?
This made it all worth it. Before we move on, can we just talk about the picture from the festival that was posted?
Hell yeah, you know we go and talk about that.
I'm
not gonna fucking let this slide without talking about this. This is the entire reason I called you guys up early this morning. I'm like, we need to talk today.
I woke up with an immense hangover. My phone's blowing up. Joe's just like, get up.
Oh yeah, I was
doing this.
I drank literally all day and night yesterday too. And I saw this. And I'm like, we gotta do the show. We gotta play through the pain.
That's right.
All right, Jordan, you wanna just ease us into this one?
This festival in question took place yesterday, and one of our readers, first of all, was kind enough to go stand outside and take a picture of the outdoor section with the bouncy house and five people milling around, so that was highly enjoyable. But after the festival took place, someone felt the need to go to our Facebook post and post a picture of people at the festival giving us the finger. This venue can hold at least 1,000 people, maybe more. And in this picture, there's maybe 50 people.
Maybe. Like, I put on my glasses to count last night, even though I was super drunk. It's like, one, two. I got it to about 50.
How much money do you guys want to bet that every single one of those middle fingers is from somebody playing that show?
Yeah, pretty much.
And their girlfriends. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
The picture is great, too, because you could see that there's plenty of space around them.
They're standing
you see
room.
The rest of the venue is empty.
So she posted this at like midnight last night. And I was looking at this and it's like, okay, that was probably around when Unearth was playing. So your headliner for this festival had maybe 50 people show up for it. So she posted a short video of it too, in which there's maybe an additional five people in the frame. It's bad. But she left this handy note for us. That's more friends than you have. You are a mediocre, miserable fuck. Good luck on your journey of negativity, and thanks for the free advertisement for all of the hard-working talent tonight. Say hello to your cat for us. And I immediately did. I immediately said hello to the cat because the cat was right there. And again, I was kind of drunk and having a good time.
Yeah. And listening to good music, unlike some people.
What a beautiful cherry on top self-own.
Nobody has self-owned that hard in quite a long time.
And like, the thing is, they're having another festival in like 3 weeks with Life of Agony. Same thing's going to happen.
But if every band there had four members in it, you would have like 125, 130 people in the audience if it was just those bands, and there wasn't even that many. So, hui, Glavin, you can't see, I'm grabbing my tie and pulling it away from my neck in an awkward way.
Yeah, just, that's interesting you put on a tie for us, Joe, but.
I keep this shit classy.
I didn't realize there was a dress code. I've been showing up naked for each one of these.
All right, listener, just imagine, if you will, that you traveled forward in time. I mean, faster than you currently are, like a little bit faster. We recorded this first segment, what, Sunday? Was that it?
I think so, yeah.
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 Today is now, what, it's Tuesday night?
Tuesday night, yep.
Yeah, because I felt like it was important that we update this episode because a lot of really funny things happened about this specifically, about this stupid pay-to-play festival. Number one, we had mentioned it, I'm sure it's a minute or two, you know, prefacing this about the magical self-own of the concert photo during Unearth of like 60 people watching this crowd. But we now have video as well. Thankfully, there were a lot of people there recording. A lot of people, I mean, like 40 people, recording with their with their cell phones. Awful grainy footage of like crossing the Rubicon and shit. So we've got that to sack onto it as well. And then something else happened. 365, you want to bring it on?
The salt was heavy that day, my friends. Not just the promoter, but the promoter mainly and some of his friends, rather than having the show and moving on, not worrying about what other people had to say, they felt the need to jump in on the Facebook post that this whole thing was under and proceed to ask for names, contact information, and all around threaten us.
Yeah, so Justin Marcotte is the promoter of this thing. He came out and said, almost 600 tickets sold, which I replied, 600 tickets divided by 30 bands is 20 tickets each. You did it. you succeeded in your grift. So let's see. He immediately, tell me your real name, sir, and the name of the person hiding like a bitch. Come see me. So I told him, like, yo, my name is Joe. I live in Texas. I've never been to Rhode Island, but if I ever go, I'd love to stop in so you can, I guess, try to fight me for this. And then he got mad that I wouldn't give him my last name. But eventually, like, he creeped it out anyway, and he privately messaged my personal account on Facebook with a winky face.
And me too.
I replied back with a kissy face, and the read receipt is on. He saw it, but he didn't reply. So I don't know.
What do you think's gonna happen by doing that? Like, what's the end goal? Like, are you actually going to fight someone that pointed out that you're screwing over bands?
And the most interesting thing about this is he didn't give any counter argument whatsoever to what you guys were calling him out on. At all. He had nothing over the, I don't know, dozens of messages that he's been going on back and forth. Not one time did he give any sort of counter argument or explanation for what he does or why he's doing it. Just a lot of like self-inspirational shit. Like, you know, it's like, you know, I had a successful festival and everybody loves me and everybody come pat my back on Facebook because I'm sad today about what happened. People are running my name through the muck. And it's like, this guy took this shit so personally. Like, it wasn't just about him, but for some reason he made it all about him.
His name wasn't even included on the article in question.
No, of course not. I mean, you just had a really great example, a spot-on, perfect, exact example of the kind of stupid bullshit that shouldn't happen in the scene anymore. It's something that happens all over the country. But for some reason, this guy thought that this was a specific, like, article to shit only on him and what he does. Didn't you have, like, a bunch of other tours in the area or festivals in the area that you shared? Were those all his?
Some were his. Some were from other promoters.
Yeah.
That do the same thing.
So don't do it, and maybe we won't talk shit.
And the thing is, like, people were, like, quick to jump saying how many people were there or, like, it, you know, we had a great time. It's not like... I didn't want this to fail. I think I need to be clear about that. Like, it would be awesome if there were a lot of people there for the whole time and everyone had fun and all the bands got paid. That didn't happen. We have it on good account from a band that took part in this, and they were asked to sell a certain amount of tickets at a certain price. They didn't get paid, and there was no guarantee that they'd be able to play.
Yep. So... He made these bands sell tickets, annoy their friends and family to buy these tickets for this show to see one nationally touring band for, what, $30? If they did that, if each of these bands made him, you know, $600 each, which is roughly what he was going for, there was no guarantee they were even gonna get to play this stupid fest. And they sure weren't going to see a fucking dime for it, in the case of the band that you were speaking with. And I think that, you know, Brenna, you touched on it like he didn't have a defense for himself, because there isn't really a defense for this. This has been going on for fucking 30, 40 years now, at least as long as our current definition of, like, pre-selling these tickets works for pay-to-play. But I found this site called neverpaytoplay.com. It was put together, like, you know, it's a pretty old-looking page. It was put together by a musician many years ago, but everything that he's saying here is extremely relevant, and it's the same kind of shit that we were seeing from the promoter and from some of his lackey friends.
Those fucking sycophant juggalo morons that just patted his back 1,000 at a time.
Yeah, so, like, what really hit me here was the 10 most common pay-to-play arguments, which are the things he said. These are the things you'll hear with when dealing with pay-to-play promoters. Their tactics are used over and over again because they don't really have anything else to work with. So we can just do the top 10 here. We don't have to get into a whole lot of detail with them. But number one, they are the experts. These promoters have the experience. They've done thousands of shows. They're musicians themselves. So they know more about this than you do. And, you know, as we mentioned earlier, this typically preys on younger dudes. So checks out, man. The boo-hoo approach, I see this shit all the time. Promoters spend a lot of time yelling how much money they're not making on these shows for themselves.
Yeah, sounds relevant.
Shame. After all this promotion company has sacrificed and done for you, how could you protest selling a few tickets? Number four, work ethic. I love this one. They claim that bands are lazy. They're not getting better shows because they're lazy and not willing to put in the work. And segues right into, you are not serious. Musicians are told that they'll never make it because they aren't committed. Committed to bothering your grandmother, saying, please give me $30 to go see. What is one of these upcoming shows that he's putting on? Attila? I don't know, some shit like that.
It was like Rings of Saturn and... I think Attila, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Whitechapel, Rings of Saturn.
Oh, it's Whitechapel, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a real tour that they're sticking on an extra stage and a couple more local bands opening up.
Yeah, they actually have like a legitimate show this time.
Yeah, but still, they can't working help on themselves. He's working on adding an additional 10 bands to this fucking bill. Going on, we dare you to try this yourselves, which is what we talked about a few minutes ago or a few days ago, depending on how we look at this timeline. You can totally do this yourself. Like, as a matter of fact, it's not too tough, and you won't get screwed by a promoter. Number seven, no one is forcing you, and it's no promotion company is actually forcing you to participate, but you could argue that the enticement is enough with the promise of big shows, big prizes, and this is your chance to really break into the industry, man. Also, this is how the music industry works. And these people are, it's the same thing. They're the experts. They're telling you, like, this is what you got to do if you want to break into the show business. Number nine, are you only in this for the money? Which is a pretty dick ass thing to say to somebody when you're, telling them to sell tickets for you. But, that's what you see a lot of. And number 10, name calling. Some of the words that he called out here: lazy, greedy, worthless, ungrateful, cowardly, jealous, bitter, and my favorite, a hater. I think that,
yeah,
like,
that
every
familiar.
Single alarm bell is ringing off.
What did he call us? We're all a bunch of fucktard babies who still have their mommy wipe their asses at home. I don't know about you guys, but, like, I've lived outside of home for like 10 years now, so. I guess,
so your mom has to come visit you.
Yes, that's right. It's a pain in the ass.
But this fucking guy, like, he's trying to threaten me on Facebook, and every picture is his doughy ass with his small children. It's like, are you really going to risk that shit, dude?
I can't believe what these grown men will throw around online. Like, so this guy went out of his way to Google you and find out who you were, and then just, like, I mean, take his threat over the next level by messaging your personal Facebook account and just be like, ha, I know who you are. And then what? What's he going to do now?
He's
going
to. He didn't even reply.
Yeah.
So
I think, I think your lack of a reply kind of stunned him, but
I don't know.
It's like, if you want to show that promoters aren't total fucking loser shitlords, then don't act exactly like one all the way.
I was out at the bar with my buddy last night, and I mentioned this to him. He's like, man, you piss off a lot of dudes, like, all the time. He's like, are you ever worried about that? I'm like, no, because these dudes are all talk. Like, this is just some posturing on the internet. Like, what are the odds that some dude is going to think it's a good idea to fly across the country, like, and come to a Texan's house? Like, that is the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, we don't have gun laws like you guys do.
Our gun laws are non-existent, man. It's the Wild
West. I guess
West.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Is our gun laws aren't quite as yours are. So, yeah, that would be really stupid on Justin's part. Also, because you don't need, like, guns. You already got a pair of pythons, and you'd smash this dude. Like,
hit him with the folding chair.
That's right. Give him a Hurricane Rana off the top turnbuckle. Just sit down, fellas. Have an ice cream. Relax.
I can't stress this enough, man. Like, this is shady shit, and the only reason that it still exists is because bands are either young enough or naive enough to let themselves be taken advantage of. And it's got to end. It, like, this is just a cruel cycle. Like, you can't... A successful business model is not continually pressuring people to bother their friends and family to buy a ticket for a show they don't really want to go to. That's not how you do music or business.
Yeah, man. Try one of those energy drink pyramid schemes they got going on YouTube. That would work a lot better, I think, than, you know, you'd make a lot more money trying to get grandma to buy all your packets of Super Surge or whatever.
I almost fell for a pyramid scheme once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was fresh out of college, and, like, I saw this posting on one of those job sites. It was, like, entry-level marketing intern or some shit like that. So I, like, go to this interview with a whole bunch of other people, and, like, I talk with this person for a little bit, and they're like, perfect. We're going to send you out on a full day, like, in-person interview. You gotta wear, like, a full suit for this thing, and you're going to meet this guy at this time. So I did. I got a suit on. It was the middle of August in Texas. It was 110 degrees out that day. And pretty soon, we get in the car. These guys are chugging Monster energy drinks and chain-smoking cigarettes. They're like, we're going to go door-to-door in this neighborhood, and we're going to try to sell Time Warner Cable. And that was
sick.
That was it. I was stuck out there all fucking day with those people because I didn't have my car. I couldn't get back out, and there was, like, this is before smartphones and Uber and shit.
I fell for something like that when I first moved to Nashville. I got a job as a car salesman, and what I did is I went to this car salesman class for, like, 5 days, and at the end of the 5 days, they were like, that'll be $400.
What?
And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? And I don't know. I was probably 21 at the time. I just paid them, and I was so pissed off that I didn't listen to anybody, and I just, like, sold cars when I was supposed to, like, be shadowing people. And I sold, like, $1,200 worth of cars in a month. And once I got there, I was like, all right, fuck this, I'm out. But yeah, that was the cheesiest thing, the weirdest, most messed up, schemiest, shaftiest shit I've ever seen.
That sucks.
I want to hear your pitch now for selling a car. Like, hey guys, how's it going?
Oh, you want to hear my pitch? Well, I used to sell Nissan, so you know, it's like, look, if you want to look at a car, if you want to just go walk around and look at what's in a car, you can just go to any parking lot, man. You can just check it out, but you're here to drive it, right? And then you fucking get in the car, and I kidnap you and take you to God knows where and sell you the car for an additional hour.
Jordan, you ever get suckered?
Into writing articles for you.
Hey, this fucking guy.
remember. I think I've gotten close when, you know, you need money. It's just like, oh, I guess I could paint houses. And then she's like, wait a minute. I have to buy all the equipment. How is this good for me?
Yeah. You seem like a smart guy. You're playing chess while we're playing checkers over here. You know, but nobody can screw over the 365.
My antenna's always up for bad stuff like this because I know there are plenty of bad people out there that want to grift off of, you know, young, stupid people.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, serving tables was a pretty fucking lame grift as well. I'm making $213 an hour. What is that shit?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. They can tell you can make unlimited tips if you just smile enough and you dance enough and you, you know, act like a sweet enough nice boy.
I like did the numbers after working at this fucking wing joint for a few months. I'm like, I'm making like half of minimum wage right now.
Yeah. Were the wings good?
Wings were excellent. The owners of this particular franchise, like, if they were on fire, I wouldn't piss to put them out, but the wings are excellent.
Were the wings on fire?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can get them blazing, brah.
It really says something that these guys challenge you to a fight the moment you back them into a corner. It's like, you can't defend yourself. You can't just be above this. You have to threaten to beat people up when things don't go your way. Like, yeah. What does that fucking state about you? Like, you're supposed to be a professional. You're supposed to pride yourself on how, you know, your integrity is as a promoter, and you go off online and like this shit, man.
I'm just saying, like, hey, if you're a young band, you're like, hey, we need to get some shows. Do you really want to do a deal with the guy who loses his goddamn mind when he can't back up his own business's practices, like, with a pretty light-handed article?
Pretty light, yeah. Like, this was a light criticism. This was like a... just a feathery soft suggestion from Jordan to like not be ridiculous and not put these stupid shows anymore, you know?
So, I mean, like, yeah. Granted, we've probably been a little bit harder on him on this podcast, but I am saying that he started it.
I guess so. Yeah, maybe we're being a little too hard on Justin, Mark.
I mean, like, don't harass this guy on the internet or anything, because that's fucking lame, but...
No.
Oh yeah, don't message a person online that you don't know.
Yeah.
Who would do that? Would do such a thing?
But if you're looking for a promoter to work with, I'm just saying, remember that name.
Alright. Yeah. I think a few of you chumps listening would do it too. You'd message him, you bunch of cool guys, you know I love you.
I mean, like, it is fun. Like when we do something and then there's a whole cool role and like people pile on, that shit's fun. But I mean, I forgot where I was going with this.
but these people come onto our turf. So then the pylon's okay. Like when they go to the Toilet of Hell Facebook page and then on the Toilet of Hell Facebook page comment section, our guys pile on, like that's totally cool. I'll always recommend that, but obviously just leave this guy alone. Leave him so alone that your band does not play for him.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Don't play for him. I feel like we should, Jordan, you tracked down some music from the Kingsmen, right? Or is it the King? What is this band?
The band is Kingsmen. They don't have any songs or records out. I think there's a couple of clips on YouTube, and yet they somehow have 10,000 Facebook fans. Figure that one out. But I think we might have a clip from them if you want to play that.
Yeah, let's do that. That shit is fire. I see why they have 10,000 fans.
At least. Although I've heard that the lyrics, it's hard to understand, but they're pretty saucy. They're bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's pretty lurid.
Vulgar.
That's a word, right? Lurid.
Lurid. Lurid, lurid.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got in a fight with Frankie Palmieri on Twitter until he deleted his dumbass tweets.
Right. And then he pinned a tweet about how he donated money to
Rain.
Rain, yeah.
I got to say, if you get owned online, that's the best possible, like, reaction, is to donate money to whatever cause you were going to fuck up.
I honestly think at that... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I want to see the receipt.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But I think that's the end goal, is just if someone says something stupid, you correct them and then they do the right thing. So as much as we hate Frankie and as much of a fun punching bag as he is, I think after that, you know, you should kind of leave him alone a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not trying to push any buttons or anything. The guy was just like, he was victim blaming. That's what it is.
Right, right. And so I think it's, you know, the job of the people to delicately remind him to not be a complete fucking moron, you know? And then when he says, oh, sorry, I guess I was a moron, you know, that's all. I mean, granted, he did like 30 gymnastic tweets up to that point, but whatever.
Yeah, he tried to say something like his tweet was to like help women that are in the situation.
Yeah,
I think that was one of them.
That's how that works.
If you're going to Frankie for safety tips, you're in a lot of trouble.
Dude, I've never really interacted with an Amir fan because, like, how would I ever come across one of those? But, like, I had a bunch of these dudes replying to me, and they were just like, man, bitches are always after attention and money. They're all faking it. And just like, wow. You are an Amir fan.
Yeah.
I got literally nothing more wilting than that.
Ouch.
They were who we thought they were.
Yeah, yeah. Believe someone when they tell you. When they tell you, I want to see you suck his dick.
Take the man at his word.
Who is that total shit stain of a human?
Varforth?
No, not him. Although, he's a shit stain too.
It's immediately who I thought you were talking about.
Ronnie Radke had some pretty like heavy allegations against him a year or so ago, I think, and I still haven't heard anything back from that. Granted, the justice system in this country works super fucking slow, so who knows?
Yeah, and Ronnie Radke himself will be the first to go on Twitter and like, you know, speak for himself in all of these fucking situations instead of just calling his lawyer, which I think it's hilarious that like a band that, you know, essentially is much lower on the totem pole in terms of success and fame knows that they should handle this the right way and have an attorney involved and not speak out in any means. But Ronnie Radke, of course, will just be his own voice and say whatever he thinks people will believe. But then again, they're probably arrested in orange jumpsuits somewhere. So what do I know?
Yeah. I mean, Ronnie Radke's been to jail.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. He's, I think a couple of times. He's a bad person. Like, not saying just because you go to jail you're a bad person, but I am saying Ronnie Radke has been to jail and is a bad person.
Yeah, he was
concentric circles.
He was involved in the full blown fucking homicide of a person. Like, somebody died as a direct result of the shit that he did, and then like he went to jail, came out of jail maybe just a little bit more swole than he went into jail because obviously he was the prettiest boy there. He had to do something, and then like immediately after he came out of jail, he started that new band. I think it's called Falling in Reverse.
Mm-hmm.
And he like put out this music video where he's like on trial and there's like sexy lawyers finger wagging at him. And he's like, ooh, I've been a bad, bad boy getting people murdered. It's just like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, also like in 20, this is fucking hilarious. I mean, that's, it's not funny, but it's funny, but it's not funny. Anyway, in 2012, Radke like assaulted a 16-year-old girl at a Six Flags Great Adventure in Jackson Township, New Jersey.
It's I've been
funny,
there before.
It's funny.
he got charged with a simple and aggravated assault, and because of that, Six Flags no longer books any hard rock or heavy metal bands. Because Radke's a fucking dildo. So,
do you think Six Flags makes themselves their own tickets?
Yeah. Do you know anything about Dan Snyder? Dan Snyder is
football season.
Yeah, Dan Snyder is the owner of the Washington racial slurs, and he used to have like a pretty sizable ownership of Six Flags. And he was just using it basically as like a clearinghouse to like try to cook the books on his other business ventures. Like he had some kind of mattress franchise. So he set up a mattress store in every Six Flags. You know, you go out for a day at the park with your family and you got to pick up a fucking queen size pillow top on the way out.
I remember that. I remember walking through Six Flags being like, what the fuck are beds doing here?
Yeah, eventually, like, the other owners of Six Flags got, like, a judge to be like, you are intentionally fucking up this entire business. So they made him sell his steak. But if there were anyone who could squeeze money out of places you shouldn't, it would be Dan Sutter, and he would absolutely require bands playing Six Flags Great Adventure to sell their own tickets and pay for their own parking too, I'm sure.
I wonder if he does that to like all the people in mascot outfits too, like they're not typical employees and they're trying to get exposure as some sort of actor or something, and so they got to put on a Wonder Woman costume and go out and do a song and dance, but they pay to be there.
Well, you got to pay the licensing fee to dress up in this Warner-owned costume, too. Man, I'm just so excited we're able to wrap this fucking episode up like that. That is tight. Ugh, I love it when I know something about something.
Oh, I don't know what love is then, because every time you guys talk, I just, you know, listen and hope that maybe I have an opinion on it or can formulate one while you're making stuff, while you're saying stuff.
Well, now I'm just excited for Snyderfest at RFK Stadium. 90 bands and over one day. Doors at 9 in the morning. First band on at 7 in the morning.
Beers are $43.
Right. And if you show up for 1 p.m., there will be a Batman action adventure stunt show that will be playing at a separate stage than the one your band is playing on right at that same time.
I don't know if you've ever watched those, but they're pretty fun. I mean, I haven't seen one since I was like 8, but it was pretty fun.
Right. And you can feel the heat from the explosions. It's super, super rad. So obviously nobody's going to be watching, you know, the band of whoever else is playing at that time.
Yeah, everyone is there to rub Joe Theismann's broken leg.
Yeah, I guess we could just mention it because it's happening. Football season started this week, and I am ready for some football. Are you ready for some football?
Football. I'm just so thrilled the Patriots lost their first game that whatever else happens this season, I don't care.
All right, Okay, so
the Patriots maybe lost the first season of a game. But, yeah, you know, we'll see how they do the last season of the game, if you know what I mean, right? Yeah, okay. So you just wait.
It's 1:45 p.m. right now on Sunday, which means that the first round of games today is not over yet, which means that the Patriots currently have the worst record in the entire NFL. And I'm just going to
love it.
I'm going to marinate in that, man. Man, did you ever hear, this is such a strange thing, but this dude covered 43% burnt, and like it's on YouTube, and he changed it to 81% burnt, and it's entirely about Art Monk of the Washington Redskins. And it's like one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I feel like we ought to close the show by playing that.
It's either that or the Super Bowl shuffle.
Yeah, or Hank Williams Jr., are you ready for some football?
Or that song that Andy Milonakis did way back in the day. I don't remember what it was called.
The Super Bowl is gay?
I know that. I was just making a joke.
Oh.
I just don't know if it's in mode in 2017 to just say stuff is gay anymore, so.
I mean, it's not, but it's also like we're talking about an actual thing that happened. Like Andy Milonakis did this song.
Yeah, and it got him invited to the Jimmy Kimmel Show and pretty much started his career.
Yeah, they all thought it was a Make-A-Wish thing.
Everybody thought he was like this shiny-eyed 11-year-old boy with an acoustic guitar, but really he was like some 44-year-old dude with a weird disease.
Any idea what Andy Milonakis is up to now?
I know he voices Nepter on Adventure Time, and sometimes they let him bust out some rhymes. But besides that, I don't know. I'm just happy he has a job ever since the Annie Milonakis show tanked, which was such a tragedy to television. Not the show, the fact that it tanked. I mean, think what you will.
I think we ought to sign off pretty soon. I'm just real excited to play 81% Burnt, to be honest with you. you folks are gonna love this shit. Anything else you guys want to talk about? All right, man. Thanks for listening to the show. If you got something to say, holler at us. Thanks for listening.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Our book is old school! 81! 81! 81!
Best of all time.
Our book! Good God, he's the greatest wide receiver ever!
Purveyor of the finest football ever.
Wide receiver! Wide receiver! Oh my God, he's the best wide receiver fucking ever! Jesus Christ! Whoa! He's so amazing! He's the finest! Bob Costas loves him! If Garfield loves him too, boy, he'd love him too!
OJ Simpson was
oh, God! He killed his wife in the name of Art Monk! Art! And rightfully so! Fucking Monk! 81! Football camp! Oh, God. 81! God! A-R-D-1! Good God! The greatest!
Oh, God.
Mark Griffin threw him tight passes! Art Buck was so flawless! Completely flawless!
Oh my God, he's the greatest. He's
the champion of the Cubs, Gunslinger, Percy Maker.
Redskins are Deadskins, yeah, right. God. Fuck no, Art Monk is not giving up without a fight. Art Monk is punk rock as shit. Art Monk will fuck you up. Especially if you're a fucking cornerback.
Art fucking Monk, good God! Mark Rippin! Art Monk! Superheroes of the football! Superheroes of the football sports genre! Good God! Did you have trading cards? Because I did! I had them all! We got no hell yeah! Fuck! Why did Art Monk retire? 81! 81! 81! Oh my God! 78 plus 3! 81! 84 minus 3! 81! Art Monk! Amazing! Get over yourself! You are nothing compared to the Monk! Nothing! Nothing at all! Is old school!
Art.
Get out of my face!
Art. Monk. Art. Monk. Art. Monk. Art. 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 Monk. Monk. Monk.
Art.
Monk.
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 Art. Monk.
Art. Monk.
Art
Monk.
Art Monk.
Art Monk.
If it wasn't for Art Monk, I would have never given up heroin.
Art Monk.
Art Monk saved me from myself.
Art
Monk's football camp proved to me that I was a winner.
Art.
I was not a loser.
Art.
I can't thank him enough.
Art.
And I can't thank Mark Griffin enough for throwing him tight passes. Thanks, Art Monk. You're a champion.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.